from the Learning Lab at WEAA 88.9 FM on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan News Hour. Welcome to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Randy Reed, News Director, and Demi Goff is off tonight. Two people are dead after a shooting inside a Maryland senior living facility. What we know about the motive behind the shooting. Domestic violence has risen during COVID. Just recently, a D.C. man killed his girlfriend, then turned a gun on himself. Finally, we speak with an executive director from the Center for Hope to shed light on the signs of domestic violence. But first, authorities in Maryland say two staff members have been fatally shot inside a senior living facility, and one suspect is in custody. It happened Friday morning at the National Church Residences Gateway Village in Capitol Heights. Police said both victims were women, one found in a hallway and another in an office. A resident of the complex says the shooter is a fellow resident who said he was fed up with how senior citizens are being treated there. The company running the facility says they're heartbroken that two staff members were killed. Police said the homicide investigation would include any questions about the facility's management.
Authorities dropped several charges against a 19-year-old man who was accused of shooting three people, including himself last month, on the Towson University campus. That's according to TV station WBAL. A judge on Friday morning agreed to drop seven of the nine charges against Samuel Nam and place him on a pretrial release. Nam is now considered a victim in addition to the two others of the September 4th shooting at Freedom Square on the Towson campus. So far, video surveillance of the shooting has not identified the shooter. According to Nam's attorney, Nam got into a fight with someone over money he dropped, but his clothes, secured as evidence days after the incident, showed a bullet hole in his jeans, but no gun residue, meaning he likely wasn't the shooter. Police haven't identified who the shooter is yet, but detectives are still combing through surveillance evidence. A woman is dead following Thursday morning shooting in a Planet Fitness parking lot in Washington, D.C. The shooting occurred in the 3200 block of Pennsylvania Avenue in Southeast. Police say Nakisha Thomas of Olney was shot in the head as she sat in her car in the parking lot. Officials say Antoine Oliver of Fort Washington ran up to Thomas's car and fired at least one shot at her through the window. Oliver was later found dead near East Capitol Street and Minnesota Avenue from what officials believe was a self-inflicted gunshot. Investigators believe the shooting was domestic in nature. Coming up later in the Morgan News Hour, we speak with the Center for Hope Executive Director Adam Rosenberg about domestic violence and the signs that you need to be aware of. Maryland's governor wants to put away much of the state's record $2.5 billion surplus and spend the rest of the tax relief helping Marylanders in need. Governor Larry Hogan announced Thursday that he wants to boost the rainy day fund to at least 7.5% or $1.67 billion. Hogan also proposed tax relief for retirees and other Marylanders and more relief for people struggling to make ends meet.
Today, for the first time in nearly a quarter century, the state of Maryland is projecting a long-term balanced budget, including a $2.5 billion surplus, which is the biggest surplus ever in the history of our state. This is an incredible achievement, which ends decades of deficits and runaway spending. Reaching this point took every bit of 7 years of hard work and holding the line. Already, some politicians see this as a chance to go on a big spending spree with pet projects and big payouts to special interests and new mandated increases in spending. That is not going to happen on my watch. We're not going to squander this hard-earned surplus on special interests. We're going to invest it in the hardworking people of Maryland, and we're going to leave our state in better shape for future generations. It's important to remember how we got here.
Drivers who work for the Annapolis Bus Company say they want to unionize. Drivers like Lisa Beauchamp joined local labor groups Thursday and delivered paperwork to the bus company detailing their plan.
You know, we are essential workers.
We are a school community, and our bus drivers are part of that community. And so we want to make sure that we stand up for our own, and our bus drivers are part of us.
The school bus drivers were on strike Monday and Tuesday calling for better wages and benefits. Superintendent George Arlotto has put a proposal on the table. It is a $7.4 million package, which calls for a $5 per hour pay increase for drivers and attendants. A $2,000 signing bonus for new employees is also on the table, along with $2,000 retention bonus for drivers and the attendants already on the job. Drivers will vote on unionization on October 20th. Now let's take a look at what's happening around our region.
Maryland has approved more than $421,000 in supplemental compensation for the first person in the United States who was sentenced to death and later freed from prison because of DNA evidence. The Board of Public Works also approved $31,343 on Wednesday in attorney fees in the case. Kirk Bloodsworth was sentenced to death and spent nearly 9 years in prison for a Baltimore County murder he did not commit. He was exonerated in 1993. A year later, Maryland approved $300,000 to compensate him for the time he was wrongly incarcerated. Earlier this year, Maryland updated the law for compensating the wrongly convicted. And Baltimore County police are looking for a naked man last seen walking around a senior facility. Police were called to investigate a report of a man walking around the Parkview Senior Living Facility on Maiden Choice Lane. Officials say a number of residents and staff said the man was wearing no clothes as he walked around the facility. Surveillance cameras caught images of the man as he prowled around the center. Anyone with information on the man's identity or whereabouts is asked to contact police. I'm Carol Williams reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Now here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 62 with a calm wind. Saturday, a chance of rain after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 75. Saturday night, a chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 62. Chance of precipitation, about 50%. Sunday, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 75. Sunday night, a slight chance of rain before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 62. On Monday, or Indigenous People Day, mostly cloudy with a high near 77. Monday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 78. That's a look at your weather around the region.
Will the U.S. change its policy towards Haiti? American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris.
Our current policy towards Haiti is a holdover from the previous administration and is in desperate need of fresh faces and perspectives.
That was Representative Gregory Meeks during a House briefing talking about what needs to be changed concerning Haiti. Former U.S. Special Envoy for Haiti Daniel Foote also testified and spoke about the surge in gang violence.
Kidnapping for ransom has become part of the society. There were 20 kidnappings last Saturday on one day.
Now, he resigned weeks ago in protest of the administration deporting Haitian migrants fleeing political corruption.
Haiti is too dangerous. Our own diplomats cannot leave our compounds in Port-au-Prince without armed guard.
Representative Maria Salazar condemned the administration for the treatment of migrants at the U.S. border.
This administration trampled over the rights to due process of law as they have given to many others who were crossing the border in the last 7 months.
For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
President Joe Biden is issuing the first ever presidential proclamation of Indigenous Peoples Day that lends the most significant boost yet to efforts to refocus the federal holiday celebrating Christopher Columbus towards an appreciation of Native people. Biden also issued a proclamation for Columbus Day on Monday, October 11th, which is established by Congress. The Indigenous People Day proclamation states that for generations, federal policies systematically sought to assimilate and displace Native people and eradicate Native cultures. It recognizes Indigenous people resilience and strength, as well as the immeasurable positive impact that they have made to every aspect of society. My grandmother would actually be happy. U.S. economy added 194,000 jobs in September, missing estimates. U.S. stocks are closing lower Friday after a weak jobs report sparked questions about when the Federal Reserve could cut its support for the markets. Government data showed far fewer jobs were created last month than economists forecast. The jobs report is among the most anticipated pieces of economic data, and the reaction to its release was confused.
September would be a banner month for hiring. Schools would reopen, freeing parents to go back to work. Vaccines would put the pandemic in the rearview mirror. And the supplemental unemployment benefits that some employers blamed for keeping workers on the sidelines would expire nationwide. Well, it hasn't exactly worked out that way. A surge of new coronavirus infections in late summer put the brakes on hiring. Still, when the September jobs numbers are released tomorrow, they're expected to show some improvement, if not the stellar job growth that was hoped for at the beginning of the summer. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Let's start with those pandemic unemployment benefits. More than 7 million people dropped off the rolls in early September as emergency programs came to an end nationwide. Many employers hope that would push more people back into the workforce. While evidence so far is slim, Mike Parra thinks it's happening.
We saw at the moment it stopped in Ohio and in Kentucky, we saw a mad dash into the buildings.
Parra is the Americas region CEO for the delivery company DHL Express. He's been trying since June to staff up for the busy holiday season that's now just around the corner.
It's not been easy. It's definitely been different than in the past as a result of, first and foremost, the pandemic in itself, the second wave, the third wave.
That Delta wave of coronavirus cases cast a heavy shadow over the job market in August. Employers added just 235,000 jobs that month, compared to more than 1 million jobs in July. Restaurants and retail shops actually cut workers in August, as fear of the virus discouraged customers from eating out and shopping.
Make sure to download the WEAA app and take us with you 24 hours a day. You're listening to WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
We all love the Dollar Tree. They're going up. Some items are going to be $3 a piece. Some items are going to be up to $5 a piece. But here's the thing. When they announced that they're going to shift their prices, their shares went up 18%.
Family Dollar is the way to go, and this is the reason why. If you got three people in your family, they got some $3 things.
Right.
If you got five people in your family, they have some $5.
What about the people with those huge families? 15. They got some $15 things.
They sure do.
They can accommodate
you. They got lawn chairs and things.
Join us tomorrow for the Friday Live Day Party with DJ Duke. It's Good Morning Baltimore with Kelly Tyler B. and Dre.
Weekends Done Right on WEAA, a station where you can experience the diaspora through waves of sound and conversation. From soca to reggae, The Caribbean Affair with Neil Mattai, Caribbean Exchange, Denise Stanley, Donna Powell, Did You Know? Keeping you updated on the latest happening in and around the Caribbean community every Saturday. From 8 p.m. to midnight, you can tune in to African and World Beat with DJ Lovey. Sundays are for praise and devotion featuring Gospel Grace Daybreak, Gospel Grace Sunday Brunch, and Gospel Grace Afternoon. Instruments of praise. The fun doesn't stop there. David Brown, WEAA pioneer of 27 years discussing real issues, asking real questions in real time. Download the WEAA public radio app on your smartphone or mobile device today to listen live everywhere.
Dave Grohl has played the biggest venues with the biggest stars. He's won 16 Grammys, but what scares him now? Being asked to sing along with his daughter at her school.
That was the most nervous I'd ever been in my entire life because I was there to back her up in front of her teachers and her friends.
Dave Grohl on Growing Up Near DC, drumming with Nirvana, and creating the Foo Fighters, next time on 1A.
On Saturday, October 16th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Baltimore Metropolitan Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta and the Gamma Omicron Omega Alumni Chapter of Iota Phi Theta will have a pop-up expungement clinic in the North Barclay Green Community Center at 2026 Greenmount Avenue. There will be on-site legal services to help you get a fresh start by clearing your eligible criminal record. Masks are mandatory and COVID guidelines will be strictly enforced. Pre-registration is preferred, but walk-ins are welcome. For registration and more information, Eventbrite under Pop-Up Expungement Clinic.
Welcome back to WEAA 88.9 FM and the Morgan News Hour.
Now here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 62 with a calm wind. Saturday, a chance of rain after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 75. Saturday night, a chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 62. Chance of precipitation, about 50%. Sunday, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy, with a high near 75. Sunday night, a slight chance of rain before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy, with a low around 62. On Monday, or Indigenous People Day, mostly cloudy, with a high near 77. Monday night, mostly cloudy, with a low around 61. Tuesday, partly sunny, with a high near 78. That's a look at your weather around the region.
You may have reduced immunity this flu season. Here is the latest in our health report.
The CDC director is concerned the U.S. could face a severe flu season this year. Brian Shook with details.
Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said during a White House press briefing that the U.S. population may have reduced immunity against influenza after seasonal flu cases reached an all-time low last year. There were around 2,000 flu cases last year during influenza season, a drastic decrease from the estimated 35 million the year before. Walensky asked Americans to get shots for both COVID and the flu.
Mental health experts say eco-anxiety is on the rise among young people worldwide because of the climate crisis. Eco-anxiety is a term coined by scientists to describe the chronic fear of environmental doom. A group of British researchers say the condition has been skyrocketing and is having a disproportionate impact on young people and children. Health update, Sarah Lee Kessler, NBC News Radio.
Bank of America will raise their minimum wage to $21 an hour. Here is our consumer and financial report.
A global corporate tax rate of 15% is a step closer. Ireland, with a current rate of 12.5%, is no longer opposing the July multinational agreement. Ireland's finance minister called 15 a fair compromise after the wording of the July agreement was changed to drop the words at least that were in front of 15%. That left the door open to an even higher rate. Government-backed mortgages are below 3% again. The Freddie Mac average for a 30-year fixed dropped from 3.01 to 2.99% this week, but the Mortgage Bankers Association's average, which includes all conforming loans, rose 4 basis points to 3.14, helping drive down overall applications 7% for the week. The nation's second-largest bank is planning to increase its minimum wage to nearly triple the federal level. Sarah Bartlett reports.
Bank of America announced it will now pay its U.S. employees at least $21 an hour, the next step in a multi-year plan to increase pay across the company. In May, the company said they would raise the minimum wage to $25 an hour by 2025. I'm Sarah Bartlett, NBC News Radio.
Over a dozen former NBA players are under federal indictment accused of health insurance fraud, defrauding the league's healthcare fund out of about $4 million. Audrey Strauss, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, announced the indictments Thursday.
The defendants charged today defrauded the plan when they falsely made claims for reimbursement of medical and dental services that they had not received.
Former shooting guard Terrence Williams, who played for several teams, is the alleged ringleader. and the Securities and Exchange Commission is giving the green light to the closest thing yet to a U.S. Bitcoin ETF or exchange-traded fund. Instead of directly buying Bitcoin, Volt Crypto Industry Revolution and Tech ETF intends to track companies that hold most of their assets in Bitcoin or derive most of their revenue from Bitcoin-related activities. Consumer and Business News, Joe McConnell, NBC News Radio.
It's Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we decided to hear from an expert on this subject. We spoke to Executive Director for the Center of Hope about why domestic violence has jumped during this pandemic.
I'm joined by Adam Rosenberg from the Center of Hope. This month is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Can you tell me how prevalent domestic violence is in our area?
Domestic violence has been prevalent for a long time and is certainly, you know, unfortunately, really prevalent in the Baltimore community. And it's grown dramatically and substantially throughout the pandemic. It was something we all feared would happen when we went into quarantine, right. And we're now seeing the unfortunate results on the other side of it there. That, you know, while people were essentially trapped in their homes, in an effort to stay healthy and safe, the opposite unfortunately happened in a lot of cases there, that people end up being able to escape family violence, child abuse. When perpetrators go to work and kids go to school and, everyone gets out of the house there. And, you know, the stressors of just being in the house all day together with perhaps, you know, unemployment, underemployment, and the stress of COVID added to something that, you know, as people came out of quarantine, all of a sudden now we're seeing our numbers spike up to 200% increases in need for services. And it's kind of exhausting at a time that you don't have the resources to be able to help everybody who needs to get help.
How do you spot domestic violence, or are there warning signs that you can see in others?
You know, I mean, some of them are obvious and some of them aren't, you know, that I think, mm-hmm. you know, always the unexplained bruises and injuries, are really critical. We're lucky to have a network of hospital-based violence intervention programs throughout the state of Maryland and certainly within our own Center for Hope that as patients, you know, present at the hospital, we're able to help triage to figure out if the violence, you know, if the patient is at risk. And these are some of the questions that, you know, many of us or our loved ones have been asked when they've gone to the hospital with injuries, mm-hmm. just to make sure that they're not at risk of somebody harming them. So we encourage everyone to get help if they are injured there. And our hospitals and our health systems are really adept at being able to, divert and identify what those injuries are there. I think that, goes back to, a long-running thing I've been saying with you on your show is that, we as a community need to be more involved mm-hmm. rather than looking away and following that stop snitching culture where we're just not going to get involved. So it applies to, the children who've been murdered. It applies to domestic violence victims that, if we're seeing, people who we know who are struggling, who disappeared, who are, under the thumb of someone who's exerting, undue pressure in their social lives and, mysterious injuries presenting, I think it's up to us to ask, is everything okay?
Right, because
what can I do to help?
Right, because I was going to say, as a male, if I spot that, with a female coworker or whoever it may be, what is the best way for me to approach that? Or,
I think the best thing is, you look different today. Is everything okay? I mean, I think it's at least just starting. Mm-hmm. I would never want to jump to the conclusion of so and so hurting you. Mm-hmm. I think it's because people can be having a bad day for a variety mm-hmm. of reasons. But I think that's part of the human interaction that we do excel at as people mm-hmm. is being empathetic and emotional and connecting and starting to suggest what is it we can do to get to know each other more. And that if someone has those injuries or, has things that, are deviating from their normal presence, let's start to figure out what's causing that to happen. It could be an emotional crisis in someone's life or it could be an incident of domestic violence, but we're not going to know unless we get involved in that.
Right. Is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, that nobody should have to live under the threat of domestic violence and that there is always help available. There are terrific hotlines that are out there for Baltimore City, for Baltimore County. If anyone's a victim of domestic violence, they have the ability to get help. That there are 24-hour hotlines that exist in Baltimore City and Baltimore County all throughout Maryland. certainly anybody can call the 24-hour hotline at House of Ruth. That number is 410-889-RUTH, which is 410-889-7884. An emergency shelter is available. Case management and planning and safety planning is available there. In Baltimore County, people can call the Sexual Assault and Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 410-828-6390. Again, that's 410-828-6390. Center for Hope's Dove program provides a great deal of support for the western half of Baltimore County. Okay. And Family Crisis Center and Turnaround provides support for the eastern half of Baltimore County. We've got people standing by, literally waiting for these calls and helping people. And throughout this pandemic, we've sheltered hundreds of people and made hundreds of safety plans. And you know, we just need to encourage people to activate the system and get help. And certainly if there are people who are committing domestic violence, there's a lot we can do to help them stop as well.
Right.
I think it's just about shining a light on this. I appreciate it.
All right. Adam, thank you again. Adam Rosenberg from the Center of Hope. Thank you for joining us here on the Morgan News Hour.
Yeah, definitely.
We are now joined by Tariq Turner, who is a senior here at Morgan State University. He is also the sports editor for our Morgan State campus newspaper, The Spokesman. Tariq, what's going on in sports?
Hello, WEA fam. This is Tariq Turner. Morgan's volleyball team is currently competing in Hill Fieldhouse against Howard University. The match is in the first set, and the Lady Bears trail Howard 16-9. The latest episode of The Morgan Show featured Lydell Sargent, Morgan's senior associate athletic director who is in charge of external relations and development. Here's a sneak preview from the episode.
Lydell, welcome to
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm very excited to be on the show today.
Well, we welcome you aboard. And Lydell, where I want to start is with your background before Morgan State University. For those who don't know, you have a most impressive resume. You came to Morgan from UCLA. Before that, your undergraduate days were spent at Penn State, where you eventually migrated to this thing called the National Football League, where you played for the Buffalo Bills. Talk about that journey that eventually led to Morgan State University.
Well, you know, Lamont, and one of the things that keeps us so close is that it starts in Pittsburgh, right? I'm a product of a military serviceman, so I'm a military brat, grew up a lot of different places, but Pittsburgh is one of the places I call home, grew up there. And that's really where my life's journey and athletics journey really started. For me, it's where I started to fall in love with football. As you know, growing up Western Pennsylvania, football is a big part of that culture, and really understanding what the game of football is and some of the detailed knowledge that the rest of the country don't learn in third and fourth grade, you get to pick up pretty early in Pittsburgh. So I grew up in Pittsburgh, went to high school in Southern California, Lompoc, California, was a high school All-American there, was blessed enough to have a few opportunities to play. Continue my career in college, and I chose Penn State. Coach Joe Paterno recruited me. He came to my high school, spoke to my parents, and visited it. And I just had loved the experience, loved the environment there. Growing up in Pittsburgh, my best friend and I actually took our recruiting visit together. His name is Justin King. Mm-hmm. He was the number one player in the state of Pennsylvania, number one corner in the country. And so took a visit there, just loved it. Loved the culture, loved the blend of academics and athletics. Loved the opportunity to stay close to home, where my parents were. And so made that transition over Penn State. Started out as a pre-med major, but I started my freshman year, played right away. And so I learned very early on that to do both things, you got to have the time to do both things. And for me, I had the opportunity to transition over to science, where if I wanted to still go to dental school, I had that opportunity. That was something that I wanted to originally go into school for, but also had an opportunity to develop as a football player and to pursue my professional dreams to make it to the NFL. And so had a great career there, second team all Big Ten there, led the team in interceptions and pass breakups, two Big Ten titles there. We won the Orange Bowl. My senior year played the Rose Bowl against USC. So had a great time there. Was blessed enough to continue my career beyond college and play in the NFL.
To watch the entire interview and the complete episode of The Morgan Show, you can visit WEAA.org. Archbishop Spalding basketball standout Cam Whitmore has announced that he is committed to play at Villanova.
I mean, the program had to wow me. So, I mean, it was a practice, started to practice the workouts they had. Everybody was holding arms, bonding. So, they treated it like it was a family. So that was a really big part. Everybody treated everybody like it was a family. So
now we're joined by Cordell Woodland, our Raven sports reporter. Are you there, Cordell?
I'm good. How you doing, Ray?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
So let's get into it. We were hoping to see rookie wide receiver Rashad Bateman make his debut last week, but he's yet to be activated off the injury reserve list. Should we expect to see him this Monday?
One would think so. We figured last week he may have to sit out because it was his first week of practice, and I'm sure they wanted to see more from him before they just threw him out in the game. They're going to have to activate him within the coming days, so we'll be able to see for sure. But if I was a betting man, I would think that this is the week he makes his debut out there. I think Harden really wants to get him out there and see how he fits with this offense.
Whether it's Bateman's return Monday night or not, we know he will eventually be on the field. The Ravens wide receiver room is starting to look a little crowded. Who do you expect to be the odd man out?
Yeah, it is starting to get a little crowded. And this is a position that really was a position of need going into the offseason. And like you said, it's a pretty crowded room right now. I think Devin Duvernay, at least on the offensive end, is probably going to be the odd man out. The good thing for him is he excels in the special teams game, so he is the league leader in punt return average for yards. So he'll still be able to contribute on the special teams side, but I think James Prochet, he's going to be the guy to hang around a little longer, at least on this offense. One thing about him, he gets open. He's a great route runner. He only has 7 targets on the season, which is extremely low because I thought he'd be better this season. He gets open, but I just don't think that he's one of the guys Lamar constantly looks for. But whenever he does, he's available and he makes the play. But I think James Prochet will be the guy to take the back seat once Rashad Bateman is fully up and running.
All right. So the Ravens defense, they brought a lot of pressure last week and knocked Teddy Bridgewater around. What are you expecting from them this week against the Colts?
Really a lot of the same. Wink has never been shy about blitzing, and this Colts offensive line is really banged up right now. Not only them, but Carson Wentz, their starting quarterback, he's playing on 2 bad ankles. So this is definitely a game where Wink is going to send the house consistently, and they're going to continue to get pressure. And this is a Ravens team that makes a living off of forcing turnovers, and it just so happens they're going up against a quarterback who's not shy about turning the ball over. So this could be a recipe for disaster for the Colts. If I'm the Ravens, I'm really licking my chops going into Monday night.
All right. So what are your keys going into the game on Monday?
Well, number one for the Ravens is continue to tackle. Just like last week, they're facing another team this week in the Colts who like to get their running backs involved in the passing game. And they really like to run the RPO, and I'm sure they're going to run it a lot Monday night considering how hurt the offensive line is. They're going to want to get the ball out of Carson Wentz's hands fast. They know the blitz is coming. The Ravens are going to be forced to tackle in space, and hopefully they're able to do that. Number two, like I mentioned, the Colts offensive line is banged up. The Ravens defense needs to take advantage of that. The Ravens defensive front has been really good this year. Calais Campbell, he's been great all year, and he didn't have the year he wanted to have last year due to he caught COVID last year, and he has even said he wasn't the same after that, but you see the fire in him this year. Justin Madden, BK, rookie Adafe Owe, these guys have really been good up front. And Justin Houston, I can't forget him either. I think they have to really dominate the line of scrimmage against this banged-up offensive line. Third and finally, on the flip side, the Ravens' offensive line is really banged up. Ronnie Stanley's still not back. And then Alejandro Villanueva, he hasn't practiced all week. There's no reason to believe he'll be playing Monday night, so they've got to figure out who their left tackle is going to be. Their offensive line has been shifted so many times this year already. That's a key concern for the Ravens. So they've got to make sure whoever they throw out there, they have to shore up that offensive line, because the last thing they want is Lamar Jackson taking a hard hit, especially from his blind side.
Right. I agree with you on that one. So Cordell Woodland is our Ravens reporter. We'll hear back from him on Tuesday to give us a recap of the game. Thank you, Cordell. Now we're back with live sports with Kendra Pugh and Tariq Turner. How's everyone doing?
Doing well.
I'm doing good.
Kendra, it seems like I always catch you at like a restaurant or something.
Yeah, I'll be in the car.
I got you.
I'll be on the move.
Right. All right. I'm only messing with you. One of the topics we wanted to discuss was the WNBA Phoenix Mercury and the Las Vegas Aces Game 5 semis. What are your thoughts?
I see Candace Parker has been having a great, a terrific year. But I don't know. It's just something about Asia Wilson and those Aces that just makes me think they're going to win it and take it all.
Yeah, I think the Aces are going to win tonight. I'm expecting a double-double from Asia Wilson. I think she's going to have at least 20 points and 10 rebounds. And also expect Liz Cambage and Kelsey Plum to have big games as well. But even though I think that the Aces are going to win, I'm still expecting pretty good performances from the big three on the Mercury, which is Diana Taurasi, Brittany Griner, and Skylar Diggins.
Definitely. And I just think that Seattle, they have a nice this is like, we don't know, we're not sure if Diana Taurasi is going to retire. This is a big one. So if she's able to get this, I'm pretty sure she's going to want to retire after the season.
I didn't know she was still playing.
Yeah. She's been up there in years.
Next topic is the Red Sox Rays games game last night. Drake?
Your Red Sox lost last night. Kendra, what happened?
I don't know. I mean, I guess he was just having an off night. But I'm hoping they can still win this series. But the Rays is tough. The Rays is really good.
Yeah, the Rays are I wanted to pick to win the World Series. They remind me of like the Spurs of the MLB. Even though they haven't won the World Series yet, they've had some really solid years these past few years. And they have just their roster is just so deep. You know, they had Nelson Cruz hit a 3-run home run last night, and he's 41 years old. That made him the second oldest to hit a postseason home run. You have Wander Franco, who's younger than me. He's only 20 years old, and he had a multi-hit in his first game in the playoffs. And then you also had Randy Arozarena, who stole home plate, which was the first time since Jackie Robinson did it in 1955. So they just have so many players on their roster that are just very good. I'm expecting them to win it all.
And then also, like, I just don't have confidence in the Red Sox pitchers. I know that they're good, but I just don't have confidence with all the hitters that the Rays have. It's just hard to even have confidence.
Yeah.
And so on the Rams and Seahawks game last night, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. You had some really interesting plays. One of the plays I remember, the punter, he punted the ball twice in one play.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting play. Then you had both quarterbacks get hurt with finger injuries. And actually, Russell Wilson had to leave the game in the third, I believe. And then Geno Smith replaced him. And Geno Smith didn't look too bad, but I knew he would make a mistake eventually. And, of course, he did.
He doesn't disappoint. Kendra there? Did she drop?
Yes, I can hear you. Hear me?
Yep, I got you now.
Yes, it's unfortunate what happened to Russell Wilson being out 6 to 8 weeks. But I just don't see Seattle going far without him.
They made that official?
Yes.
Okay, wow.
Yeah. Like 30 minutes ago, as of 30 minutes ago, they said he's going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, the finger looked pretty messed up from when I saw it.
The USA Today ranked LeBron the second best player of all time. Skip Bayless is upset and believes LeBron is the ninth best.
Yeah, you know, I stopped listening to what Skip Bayless said a very long time ago. He just says a bunch of stupid stuff, especially towards LeBron.
Him and Stephen A.
Yeah, they both do. I don't watch those type of shows. Right. But, I don't know if LeBron is second all time, but he's definitely better than ninth.
Definitely better than ninth. I'm putting him at probably the top five.
Yeah, easily.
Because considering that just Just so you can't take away the impact that Kobe has had and being and making a list for the one of the greatest. But at the end of the day, I've never seen nobody do what LeBron does at his age. Mm-hmm. So it's just hard. I definitely put him at the top five. But you're talking about Magic, you're talking about Kareem, you're talking about Michael Jordan. It's just hard to make a list that he's at the number two spot. But he's definitely not eighth or ninth. He's at least top five
for sure.
Right, he's at least Mount Rushmore, top four.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, the boxing match is tomorrow night. Who do you predict?
Yeah, so it was originally supposed to happen a few months ago, I believe, but then Fury tested positive for COVID. I'm expecting, honestly, Fury to win. I think that, Wilder has better punching power, I would say, but if he doesn't knock Fury out, I think Fury's going to win by a scoring decision.
I agree. He's going to have to be undeniably better than him with the knockout for me to say, okay, he's won. Because I just believe if Fury's going to take it there round by round, then Fury's going to win. But if you're winning by a knockout, Deontay Wilder can win. But I just don't see it. I see Fury taking this Curry out, and he's going to have more landed punches and hits compared to what Wilder has.
Yeah, for sure.
What about the Dodgers and Giants tonight? Baseball.
What you think, Kendra?
Their robbery is crazy. Like, I'm looking forward to this game. But also, when you think about the Giants, they only won one more game than them in the regular season. I just feel like the Dodgers, they have too many pitchers. It's going to be hard for the Giants. And I believe, like, since the Dodgers won that one game, they really can beat anybody. I feel like they're going to be on a roll and they can beat any given team. They have a deep bench. They have depth.
Yep.
In that roster, I believe that they can win. They can go to the World. I'm picking them to go to the World Series.
Yeah, I think the Giants might win tonight, but I do like the Dodgers winning the series. And then the Giants, their current manager is Gabe Kapler, who is a former Phillies manager. So as a Phillies fan, I definitely want to see him fail and get knocked out the series.
I feel that.
He had a pretty rough exit from Philly.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
I think just upset that the Phillies aren't.
I mean, it's been 10 years. I'm used to it.
J.R. Smith, two-time NBA champion, is about to make his golf debut at A&T.
Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts with NBA players, and they always talk about how much they love golf, like J.J. Redick, Andre Iguodala, Vince Carter. I know I played when I was younger, and I was terrible.
Steph Curry.
Yeah, Steph Curry as well. And he has that show, Holy Moly. Yeah,
Michael Jordan loves golf.
Right. Yeah, him too. Mm-hmm. So I just never really, I guess I didn't really understand the love too much for myself. I was terrible. Do you play golf, Randy?
I used to, yes. Used to? Okay. And my son used to play.
Okay.
He was actually pretty good. And then when he stopped, I stopped.
Yeah, I even suck at putting.
Right. So what do you think, Kendra?
How well do y'all think he's going to, I don't know. I'm hoping he does well. I know it's just like a history of basketball players taking to golf. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping he does well, but I'm not really sure about that.
Yeah,
he might do well in his division, but
mm-hmm. Some of the podcasts I listen to, they actually say that he's actually a pretty good golfer.
And I find it interesting that he's doing it at a college. He went back to college to do this.
They say he was a streaky shooter in NBA, but they say that like a lot of good shooters make good golfers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And didn't Steph Curry help Howard start their golf?
I think he did. Yeah, donate some money to some program. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he's always like playing in program stuff as well.
All right. You guys good?
Yes, sir.
You have anything else?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a long segment. I appreciate you guys
for sure.
All right. Thank you guys. You're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
On Democracy Now!, we bring the world to you. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, where we cover hard-hitting news stories that matter, such as ordinary people from around the world affected by U.S. foreign policy, grassroots leaders, activists, analysts, and so much more. Join me and Juan Gonzalez on Democracy Now! Right here on Public Radio WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on WEAA, 88.9 FM.
Hey fam, it's Brother Mark here from Gospel Grace and the Instruments of Praise. I want to sincerely express my gratitude to all of you for your support for the Instruments of Praise. And if you are not down yet with the program, I invite you to come cool out your Sunday afternoons and worship with us with a jazzy vibe every Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on 88.9 FM and WEAA.org.
Give your child a head start. St. Vincent de Paul of Baltimore's Costless Head Start and Early Head Start Daycare and Educational Programs are now open for enrollment. Children ages 6 weeks to 4 years old are welcome at all 9 locations in Baltimore City. The costless full-day programs are now available in our safe, clean, licensed, and accredited multicultural Head Start centers. To schedule a visit or learn more, headstartbaltimore.org or call 410-685-7288.
So guys, there's a new TikTok trend for the month of October that's called slap a staff member on the backside. These kids are supposed to go to school and slap one of their teachers on the backside. What in the world is going on?
Absolutely not.
I hope parents can still, you know, come sit in classrooms because I like to see you do it with your mama sitting in the classroom.
I love to see the teacher actually slap them back.
We're not going to let them do it.
Not on the tookus.
It's Good Morning Baltimore.
Monday through Friday.
7 to 10 a.m.
right here on WEAA.
Hello, family. I'm Robert Shaheed from Masterclass. I want to remind you that Masterclass is available for your listening pleasure starting at 12 noon as usual and continuing into Masterclass Part 2 up until 2 p.m. weekdays, Monday through Friday. Looking forward to hearing you listen to me.
Headlines, events, podcasts, and more. WEAA.org.
Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour. Thanks for riding with us. Here's a recap of the top stories on the Morgan News Hour. The charges against the suspect in the shooting at Towson University back in September has been dropped. A judge on Friday morning agreed to drop 7 of the 9 charges against Samuel Nam and to place him on pretrial release. He is now considered a victim. And we spoke to Adam Rosenberg from the Center for Hope about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Now let's take a look at your weather.
Now here's a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 62 with a calm wind. Saturday, a chance of rain after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 75. Saturday night, a chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 62. Chance of precipitation, about 50%. Sunday, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a high near 75. Sunday night, a slight chance of rain before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 62. On Monday, or Indigenous People Day, mostly cloudy with a high near 77. Monday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 78. That's a look at your weather around the region.
My co-host Demi Goff is off today, so there's no entertainment report. It's Friday. I hope you have a good weekend and join us again on Monday. Up next is In the Groove.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication right here at Morgan State University. In our learning lab right here at the studio of WEAA 88.9 FM, led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and station manager Robert Shaheed. Thank you to our student reporters, Shania Butler, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Zakiya Jennings, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Tariq Turner, and Kara Williams. An extra special thanks to Andre Melton and Sean McBean for engineering the show tonight. For engineering the show tonight. For engineering the show.